Joe Pinion is running for a senatorial position, and he will be battling, you guessed it, Charles Schumer come November, as we welcome Joe to the airwaves for the first time. Great to have you, Joe Pinion. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. Good to be here, my friend.
It is great. I got wind of the fact that you were running. Now, have you made it official? Your hat has been thrown into the ring.
It is official. We have thrown our hat over the wall. We are into the arena. And again, really just committed to this fight to make sure that for the first time in 24 years, really the 19 million New Yorkers that call this state home have a true voice in the halls of power to make sure that everyday people get the results they deserve.
Well, let's get into a little background as far as, you know, where you came from and whatnot, and the, you know, the impetus of it all as far as, you know, wanting to gain a senatorial position. Where does Joe Pinion come from? Give us a little landscape as far as the background is concerned. Go ahead.
Sure. Well, I'm from Yonkers, New York, born and raised. Went to school in New York City at Horace Mann. I went for about 13 years and ended up going to Colgate University, went to play college football up there. Colgate was an English major. And then, yeah, just kind of came back to New York like so many people, really trying to get my foothold in life. And then, of course, like so many, we're talking about at that point the height of the recession. And so now 2008, 2009, like many young people trying to get their start in life. And, of course, we have banks that were too big to fail, made bigger by individuals like Chuck Schumer, who take the votes of the people who were victimized by that crisis, and then at the same time basically rubber stamp the policies that allow those institutions to grow stronger. But yeah, I think always in the background, I was engaged in politics. I was the outreach director for the New York State Young Republicans, rapid response director for the National Federation of Young Republicans. And in those capacities, I ended up having the opportunities to become more thoroughly engaged in the media. I was doing some political commentary on the various cable networks and regular networks from CNN to Fox Business to Fox News. Again, ultimately having my own show on Newsmax, Saturday Agenda with Joe Pinion. Where again, you know, my priority wasn't really to try to be launching a political career, but really trying to focus on the issues that I thought could be of benefit to everyday Americans who are watching the nation that they love in many ways kind of come apart at the seams. And so, you know, that was really my focus as we had took on that opportunity a little over a year ago. And yet it became apparent to me that at some point commenting on the end of the world as we know it stopped feeling like courage, started sounding like, in many ways, a dereliction of duty. And so, again, looking at Americans stranded in Afghanistan, looking at average families not being able to afford to put food on the table because of runaway inflation that's not the result of just, in many ways, some out-of-body experience, but a direct result of policies that were passed, a lack of foresight for the reality that America's supply chains have been falling apart. So you name it, the crime that has gone amok. You're talking about the deadliest year to wear a badge in America and the history of keeping the statistic 2021. Over 125% increase in ambush killings, all because of the three most dangerous words ever uttered in the history of modern politics, defund the police. So when you see shootings go up 90% in New York City, see homicide up over 30%, see 12 U.S. cities hit all-time highs for homicide, it's not happenstance. People are making decisions that are literally costing people their lives. And so at some point, we have to be willing to stand up to be that fulcrum that is going to say enough is enough. These politicians are playing political games with our lives, but we're not going to take it anymore.
Joe Pinion running for Senate. You're right. And I said this past November 2nd that was going to be at the top of the list, Joe. You know, people are fed up. They made changes, you know, locally here on the island. You know, we have a couple of DAs coming in who mean business. You look at, you look at Eric Adams, taking over the reins of New York City. You know, you hope, he's restoring the anti-crime unit. You hope he does other things as well. You hope that he is not impeded by that of an Alvin Bragg there, the DA, you know. And that's part of the problem here. The fact that you make strides and then you could take a couple of steps backwards. So are we actually getting through? You know, that's the whole thing. You know, how much of a stride are we going to take if we have setbacks based on some of these leaders who have taken this liberal progressive approach? Is very troublesome when you look around this country right now, and especially in our beloved New York. You know, I mean, it doesn't bode well, especially when one sets an agenda and says, you know what, we're going to go a little soft in some areas here, so, you know, we'll let you know. You know, that's not good to start out that way.
It's really troubling when you look at what's happened here again. These politicians who would give out what I call comfort food for the masses, right? They engage in sloganeering. We need people that actually understand their job is to pass policies that keep the ultimate individual safe, making sure that families feel safe, making sure that seniors feel safe. You cannot stop Asian hate, which we've seen run amok, if you refuse to hold the people accountable who are pushing people in the front of trains, who are holding guns to law-abiding citizens' heads. This is just basic common sense. And so I think ultimately most Americans realize that our first responsibility to our citizenry is to make sure that people are safe in their own home, to have law and order. So I think that is the reality that we face here. Law and order is not just a slogan. It is the fulcrum of society. And when you have a society that has become untethered to law and order, when criminals have been empowered by the people we have entrusted to uphold our law because they think it's an easy way to hold on to a gig, something's gone terribly wrong in this nation that we love.
No question. Joe Pinion with us, ladies and gentlemen. You're going to hear the name more as we get on with this year. And, of course, on November the 8th, he'll be on the ballot. GOP opposing, yeah, Chuck Schumer. Joe, you know, how do you battle an individual of this nature? And obviously, you got to have the funds. Hopefully, you will. But I think, you know, you said it before a little bit here. You know, individuals like Schumer have a comfort zone. You know, they know that they're going to get reelected term after term after term. And I always say there's limits in play. The limits are by the people if they go out at the ballot box and make the changes, you see. And I saw a glimpse of that last November the 2nd. And we could have something brewing here. You know, you talk about a wave and everything else. Well, you could have a tsunami. I mean, you could have an Armageddon come November the 8th. Are you kind of feeling it as you go along here about the disenchantment of many of folks out there who say, you know what, we need change. We need change. Absolutely. It's going to happen. You kind of get a – now, we talk about this every electoral period. Do you get a sense that that could be even a bigger way with what we saw last November coming up this November?
Absolutely. I think you saw that frustration in Nassau and Suffolk. Well, again, those elections where they were able to have tremendous victories countywide, I think you saw that a hop, a skip, a jump right over the Hudson River here in New Jersey, where there was that building momentum where I think, again, a lot of people woke up the day after that election in New Jersey saying, I wish I'd given an extra $5 in that governor's race. I knocked on an extra five doors in that governor's race. And so for us, we are building a grassroots organization to make sure that we can build an America that works for every single person that calls this nation home, an America that works for the 19 million extraordinary average New Yorkers that need leadership that prioritizes their needs and not the needs of the 1%. And so that is how we win in this race, right? To get those health officials who were lost their job, laid off because of mandates to knock on doors, to get those law enforcement individuals, whether they were officers, whether the first responders, to say that, look, if you're tired of individuals passing policies that make it more difficult for you to look your loved ones in the eye and say with a clear heart and clear eyes that you'll be home that night, then cut this thing off at the pass. Knock on doors, mobilize an army of bodies that can take that message to the front porches of Independence, whose doors haven't been knocked on in 24 years, because the reality is we've had one-party rule in New York State for far too long. That is the type of effort that's required. And yes, Chuck Schumer is going to have a lot of money, but the hard reality is the people who gave him that money did not give him that money for him to hold on to his job. They gave him that money to help Democrats across this country hold on to their majority. And so again, he can't necessarily go back and tell Stacey Abrams down in Georgia he can't send the $10 million that was promised. He can't go to the Pennsylvania Democratic Party and tell them he can't send the 300 bodies that were promised. So again, in many ways, it's smoke and mirrors. They use the dollars from the well-to-do to basically impede the efforts of the downtrodden here in this state and then say that it is impossible. It is not impossible. It simply requires us to take that leap of faith. I've taken that leap of faith to put my faith in the hands of the people of New York State, because I think the time has come for people with a servant's heart to go out into the world and make sure that we can build that more perfect union we have always sought.
You know, Joe, I'm talking with Joe Pinion. He's going to be running against Schumer in November, the GOP line. You know, Joe, I've known Schumer a long time, had him on the program way back. He's lost a lot of his fastball, like many have in his position, you know. And time is coming right now. Time is coming. Some people just have to know. You know, it's like when you're a ball player. You know how to hang them up, you know. And I think in Schumer's case, it's time. It's time, because he doesn't do anything to accentuate the office that he holds. He really doesn't. And when you look, especially... go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, I mean, I think specifically to that point, let's be very clear. I'm not here to tell people that Chuck Schumer is a bad guy, but I am here to tell you that he's done a poor job. And when good people do a poor job in the name of holding on to power, not empowering the people, individuals get hurt. We've seen that in the homicides. We've seen that in the shootings. We've seen that in the inflation. We've seen that in American honor betrayed with Americans stranded overseas to this day in Afghanistan, when we pulled up stake and allowed $2 trillion of nation building, 20 years, longest war in the history of this nation, to fall apart in less than 11 days. So look, on some basic level, yes, I get it. Chuck Schumer, he does what is now referred to as the full Schumer. He goes to all 62 counties. But I'm here to tell the people of this great state, he gets the pitchers. The pitchers are a godsend for his political problems. But what have they actually done to improve your outcomes? And if bringing home the bacon to New York was so good for all New Yorkers, then why is it so difficult for so many New York families to afford the bacon that they can scarcely find on their grocery store shelves? So that, to me, is the message to say, are you better off today than you were 24 years ago when Chuck Schumer took office? But more specifically, what is gained for the state of New York for another 6 years on top of the 24 he has already been in power?
Listen, I agree. I tell the audience that all the time every election season. Are we better off 2, 3, 4 years ago than we are? And in a lot of cases, we're not. So therefore, change is needed. And when you look at the posts that are being held right now, with that of Schumer and Kirsten Gillibrand, it's tough. It really is tough. I can't remember anything Gillibrand has done for Long Island. Honestly, I can't. But when you look at a guy like Chuck Schumer, even on today's issues, the filibuster and everything else, listen, 2005, he's all for it. You know, I mean, now he's against it. Why? Because it would benefit his party. And that's the biggest problem in everything right now. You go along with this one-party rule and you forget about the residents, okay? The residents that he represents. It's more about the affiliation of party than it is of individual. That, to me, lacks today, Joe Pinion, in politics, in the fact that they're not true to themselves. A lot of these men and women, they're not. They've lost their touch.
I mean,
go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, you look at what's happening on the island of Long Island specifically, again, issue by issue, you see the crime impacting the quality of life. You see the increase or the decrease in affordability simply because the actual cost of the dollar, the value of the dollar is on the decline. What is the value? What is the virtue of senior citizens receiving the largest increase in Social Security in generations if the cost of inflation actually erodes that increase? What is the value of people getting paid more if the cost of inflation erodes that increase in buying power? What is the virtue of having a senator from New York, the senior senator, most powerful senator in D.C., if you're sitting there dealing with that toxic plume continually moving south and moving towards the beaches of Long Island where somebody hasn't been able to get that address in over 20 years. So on some basic level, what is the benefit of empowering the powerful in D.C. if that power doesn't become manifest in improving your lives? New Yorkers consistently give more to D.C. than we receive in return. And so this notion that, oh, you're bringing back the bacon, let's be very clear. If you have $10 in your left pocket and someone takes $5 out of it and puts $4 back in your right pocket, that's not bringing home the bacon. You got pickpocketed. And I think that New Yorkers just need to start acknowledging those facts, and the fact that we have this inflation run amok, the crime run amok, the death and decay run amok, the abject neglect, people living in public housing, effectively New York City becoming the largest slumlord in America, not a billionaire, New York City knights of public housing. These are the issues on the minds of the American people, on the minds of New Yorkers, and I think this is the election where we can build an uncommon coalition to achieve an uncommon result, which is to have people of all colors and all creeds of all political persuasions saying the time for change is upon us.
Oh, no question. No question. A couple of minutes remain with Joe. You know, even over the weekend, we had another subway death, an Asian American pushed onto the tracks. You know, these were bad policies. You know, I look at incidents of this nature, Joe, from the de Blasio days. You hope Eric Adams is going to turn it around. But, you know, these are incidents that were born from the previous administration through ridiculous policies. And you just hope we come to our senses. But, man, I'll tell you, hearing about that over the weekend, I said to myself, wow. But when are we going to change, you know? It's incidents like this we just can't tolerate anymore. You know, we must restore our dignity and everything else involved here. And we have to start recognizing. Are you confident Eric Adams can get it done?
Look, I think that obviously there are a lot of signs there that indicate that this is certainly going to be an improvement over what we witnessed with Bill de Blasio. But certainly in many ways, irrespective of what his plans are, you come into a situation handcuffed if you have a district attorney who effectively announces his first day on the job, he has no intentions on actually enforcing the law. So that becomes very troubling. And look, let's be very clear. 97% of Americans, according to Pew polling, leading into 2020, 2021, wanted justice reform. People of all political persuasions understood that we needed a justice system that worked more even-handedly for more Americans. And yet, somehow, that conversation was hijacked by children who wanted to yell defund police. And while people want to sit here and say that defund police doesn't actually mean defund police, I remind people, words have meanings. That was an English meaning. And when we allow words to not mean what they are actually defined in Webster's Dictionary, we find ourselves in a great big mess. And the mess that we found ourselves in cities all across this country, big and small, was that when you take billions of dollars away from police departments in a temper tantrum to prove a political point, you imperil the communities depend on the policing to be able to live their everyday lives. And so abnormal conditions in the midst of COVID gave love to abnormal behavior in the form of this increase in violence. And we did not have the robust response of public safety required to help curb the passions of an enraged society. And that, to me, again, is the responsibility of leadership. Chuck Schumer was supposed to sit at the head of that table and lead this national nonpartisan conversation for justice reform. He allowed the children to hijack that conversation. People were harmed because of it. And while we understand that things like bail reform came on the heels of somebody like Khalif Browder, a young man who found himself in jail for an alleged theft of a backpack, ended up taking his own life as a result of that time that he spent in Rikers Island. It is a tragedy, but it is an equal tragedy to have his legacy and his story be hijacked, where now we have actual felons and criminals pushing people onto train tracks as if somehow that is justice for Khalif or any of the other people who have been wronged by the system. It's not. It's a betrayal of our responsibility to our citizens, and it's a betrayal of our responsibility to ensure that the next Khalif Browder is not behind bars unnecessarily because we went so far in the other direction that we had no choice but to course correct.
Joe, we're going to be watching you and have you on. Good luck with everything. You know, you got a lot of time now, but I know you're making the rounds and everything else, and the importance of the message. You know, I know we'll be strong as we get into this this new year here. Can't thank you enough for a couple of minutes. Best of luck, okay? And we'll be following
you. Thank you so much. God bless you, your audience. We'll talk soon.